Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Pastor, friend, anointed man of God, Tom Kyle.
Good morning. Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Tom Kyle. Look at all the people leave. You're going to have a great time. I love to see our youth growing.
Yeah.
It's awesome, amazing, and fantastic. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row here with me. Can you just raise your hand, sweet pie? Yeah. I was going to have her make up or stand up, but then I'd have to make up later because it'd be tough. But we have the privilege of serving here in this church, the community, and we love this family, so we welcome you. And our prayer and desire is that you this morning would encounter Jesus, that you would hear him, experience him, and enjoy him. And he is head over heels in love with you, and we love coming together. Just real quick before I begin, I just want to say and recognize the hospitality team and the coffee team. Who serves on the hospitality and coffee team? If you're brave enough to admit it. John, Daryl, we thank you. You know, it's just people like Sheila, we walk in, where's the coffee? I do that at 4 or 5 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Coffee. There's no Sheila. There's no coffee. I have to get my own. But just thank you for coming, serving, setting up every single week, making it a blessing for us. We so appreciate all that you do. This morning, I want to carry on in a series on the book of Acts. Last week, we looked at the beginning of chapter 2. This morning, I would like to more fully walk into chapter 2 of Acts. The title of this morning's message is 3,000. 3,000. It is a good word. It's a good number, too. 3,000. And I'm super excited about what I believe the Lord wants to do and say to us, with us, having us involved in what Holy Spirit wants to do and is still doing in the earth today. Can we pray?
Yes.
Thank you. Father, I thank you that you are good. You are perfect. You're amazing. You're breathtaking. You're more than we ever could have hoped for or imagined. Thank you for sending Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending King Jesus. Thank you that your heart beats for us, that you are for us, that you don't judge, you don't point a finger of accusation, but yet you call us forward into your very presence to be with you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me communicate your heart this morning, to be concise, no amens. Help me say what you would say. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was remembering back, and some of you will have heard this before, so forgive me for that. When I became a Christian in 1977, it was in a basement at 2 a.m. of a friend in Bridgeton, Missouri, across the river. And he had been telling me about Jesus for probably 2 hours. I knew nothing about Jesus. He could have kept talking for another 10 hours, and it still would have been all news to me. I knew nothing about the Bible, nothing about Jesus. I just knew how to cuss and get in trouble. And it was one of my closest friends who had just become a Christian. And he was just talking about the Bible. And he had just become a Christian himself, but at least he was raised in church as a Baptist. He knew a little bit about what the Bible would say. And he knew a lot about Revelation, so he was talking about scary stuff. And I didn't know. I was just like, And finally, at 2 a.m., his name is Owen. I said, Owen, stop. Stop. I want to become a Christian. Right now. How do I do that? And so he just looked at me kind of semi-surprised. I guess he was still in full flow of his message. And he said, oh, you know, we got to pray, man. We got to pray. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. What do you mean we got to pray? And I said, you know, and he said, well, so we got down on our knees and we were praying and everything. And I just, and just before I prayed, I said, just one thing, Owen. I really, really want to do this. Just promise me I don't have to be religious and I don't have to be a phony. Promise me that's not part of the deal. And he just started talking a little bit more about Jesus and that I don't have to in order to become a believer, a follower of Jesus. I don't have to be religious in a unfortunate way. And I don't have to be a phony in every way, in any way. And it was August 3rd of 1977. I was just one of those annoying Christians. I was just telling somebody the other day, I don't know if that I was a great billboard for Jesus, but I was a loud billboard for Jesus. And I just started experiencing my gift of probably annoying people. It's a gift. I can't take credit for it. But Holy Spirit came upon me, and it just, everything, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. It was amazing. I was just catapulted into the kingdom. Some people say, well, I've been a Christian, I think, all my life. I don't know. Mine, August 3rd, 1977, 2 a.m., explosion. And I'm thankful for Jesus, and I have no regrets about how and when it happened. All I know is I just wanted it to be real. Yeah. I just wanted it to be real. If Jesus is Jesus, I want it to be real. And so last week, as I said earlier, we just started out on chapter 2. I would like to read the majority of chapter 2 out of the book of Acts. It is a lengthy chapter. Is it okay if we read the Bible this morning? Because we're going to read some Bible this morning. So if you don't like the Bible, like the Bible. I'm going to read out of New American Standard. It's Acts chapter 2, 1 through 41. And this is not the only passage of scripture I'm going to read. But this is the text that we want to draw from this morning. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Last week's message. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. They were amazed and astonished and saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, Illinoisans, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they were all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, the crowd watching, the 120, but others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine, meaning they're drunk. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose. For it is only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m., but this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it is impossible for him, capital H, to be held in its power. For David says of him, capital H, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he is a was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call for himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, they were added about 3,000 souls. And everyone said, amen. Amen. How many people gave their hearts to Jesus? 3,000. 3,000. Huge number. They started with 120 in the upper room. And now in one day, one glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people became followers of Jesus in one day. And to me, as it describes in the book of Acts chapter 2, This is, to me, is in the New Testament 2,000 years ago and still this way. It's the second greatest event on mankind in the last 2,000 years. The second greatest event. Jesus coming, dying on the cross and resurrected. That's the greatest by far. But this moment, not the 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus, but Holy Spirit came from heaven, poured out, and everybody is filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody. It's never happened before in the history of man. This day, heaven came and filled flesh, men, women, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't an external thing. It wasn't like in the Old Testament where the Spirit came upon the prophets and they prophesied and then they went back home for lunch. Holy Spirit came on them and on people and came inside and said, "You're mine, I'm not leaving." Resident within human beings. And that's how Jesus did it. That was what he did when he was baptized by John the Baptist. They saw a dove, like a dove, come upon Jesus. And this side, his first 30 years, no miracles besides living a perfect life. That's pretty miraculous. But from that day forward with the Holy Spirit on Jesus, miracles. Everywhere he went, miracles. Why? Because Holy Spirit was filled in him. And now, amazingly, because you could think, well, yeah, that's Jesus. Of course, Holy Spirit's going to fill him. Holy Spirit came from heaven on all manner of people in the upper room, filled them all. And it was so profound, so mind-blowing. The people, the 120 that were praying in unity, were so out of, I can't even think of a phrase, so intoxicated, if you will, with heaven. Observers looking on them thinking, they're drunk. What's wrong with those people? It's 9 a.m. We recognize that. That's what people down at the pub act like. Are these guys, it's too early for this. What's wrong with you people? Have some dignity. And Peter, who 50 days before denied even knowing Jesus to a little girl, says, no. You got it all wrong. It is only 9 a.m. But these people, the men, the women, children, old people, young people, educated people, simple people, common people, bakers, blacksmiths, Uber drivers, even Uber drivers. They were filled with what the prophet Joel said, which Peter quoted in his amazing message. And Joel 2, this is what the Bible says. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and the female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. The power of heaven, the power of God, mighty Holy Spirit came upon people, and nothing was ever the same. You, these people, began doing exactly what Jesus was doing. It's a total game changer. They can sit and they can pray. They can look through the Torah. But when Holy Spirit came, they were radically different. Hiding from the Jews, afraid. Total game changer. And one of the beautiful things is, you know. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan and all hell rejoiced. We killed him. We did it. Enough of that. We killed him. Only to find that that was always the plan of God. That one man, a perfect man, the perfect Lamb of God, would be a sacrifice for all mankind for all time. And now you don't just have, after the Holy Spirit, you don't just have one Jesus walking around. Now you've got 120. Now you've got 3,000 filled Amen. With Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, you're going to do greater things. You're going to lay hands on the sick. And they're like, as long as you're here, you know, with you, because he was the key. He was it. If Jesus is there, you're golden. And with Jesus, I said last week, Jesus said, actually, guys, it's better for you if I leave. Because if I leave, the Father's going to send Holy Spirit. And that's far better. And they're like, But this day, 50 days later, they're like, oh, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now filled hundreds and thousands of people. Jesus isn't gone. Not only was he resurrected and appearing, but now you've got hundreds and thousands of people just like him. He's not dead. He's very much alive. And there's thousands, there's going to be millions of people just like Jesus. How can that be? Normal people with issues and attitudes. Anybody have issues and attitudes? People like us with problems, with struggle with condemnation, struggle with insecurities and attitudes and bristly and prickles in us. And he says, you know what? I'm going to anoint you anyway, just like you are. I'm going to fill you up to the top. And you know what? We're going to go on a trip together. And all of us are going to do what Jesus did. It's available to any who believe, anybody who wants, any who are hungry. Well, even the Uber drivers? Yes! Not the Lyft drivers, just Uber. But no, it's everybody, Susan, Carl, Cletus, Ed, Shirley, Wilbur, they all get filled. They're all doing what Jesus was doing. And the book of Acts continues from chapter 2 to chapter 28, 29 if you're more current. Miracles, healings, now at the hands of Heathers, of Kates, of Calebs. Yeah. Normal people. Followers of Jesus. These same people who were hiding behind doors weeks before, days before. Now they're not intimidated by anyone. In Acts 5, just a couple of chapters forward, I'm getting ahead of myself in weeks, however, is relevant, is germane to the topic this morning. Acts 5, these same people who are freaked out, Peter's denying he even knows Jesus, to three people, including a little girl. In Acts 5, these same disciples, just days later, Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42, they have presented, the disciples have presented the gospel, and they've caused an uproar. People are getting healed everywhere in Jerusalem. And there's a huge argument amongst the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They brought these two main disciples, and they're like, what do we do with these guys? They're killing us. They're turning the world upside down. And so one of the Pharisees gave some advice to the group of Sadducees and Pharisees. We pick it up in verse 40. They took the advice of the main Pharisee, which means don't kill him. They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, these two individuals, they flogged them. Now, that's not a word that we use a lot. Did you have a good flogging this week? No. Did you get flogged last year? I did not. It's just not a word that we use. They beat them. Opened their backs up, laid them bare, blood. Flogged. We just read it. Oh, they flogged. Ooh. They were bleeding. But in the scripture, they just flogged them. They flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. These same men who were hiding behind doors. denying they even knew the man, Jesus. Now, days later, what's the difference? Holy Spirit. That's it. It's the Holy Spirit. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, the two disciples, the two apostles, rejoicing. This blows my mind. First time I read this, I was like, what? So they just got flogged. And the Bible says this, they went on their way rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for his name. Can I just say that's not American? Where's my phone? My phone. What's my lawyer's number? They're going to not hear the end of this. Nobody, I've got rights. What do Americans do? We call our lawyer. I'll sue you. And if I die, then she'll sue you. Because you can't treat me like that. These people, full of Holy Spirit, weren't like that. They walk out going, oh, that's what they did to Jesus, and now they're going to do it to me? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be flogged. Thank you for the privilege of suffering for that name. We sang the song this morning, that name. What's the difference? Holy Spirit. They're no different than me and you. Weeks before, whining, cowering, afraid. Now they're saying, thank you. Thank you that I was considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. That's not common. Except for us who are full of the Holy Spirit. And every day, they were told to keep quiet. And what's the response? Every day, in the temple, from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What's their response? Oh, you don't want us to? Watch this. Not in arrogance, not in rebellion, not in defiance. It's like, we saw it, we know him. Now we're full of what he was full of. Holy Spirit's in us. I can't help but not be bold and courageous, and do what Jesus did. You need healing? Let me pray for you. Do you know Jesus? Before, nope, I don't know. What? Why? What are you going to do to me? Say, did you know Jesus? Yes. I knew him. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give you. No more what I love about these guys. And it harkens back to August 3rd of 1977 for me. In the New Testament, the New Covenant with Holy Spirit, there's no more rules, no more traditions, no more only the Pharisees can do that. Only those who have been to Bible school can do that. It's common people, everybody full of Holy Spirit. No more traditions that they have to, don't do this, can't do that, don't touch that, don't say that, keep quiet because you're going to get in trouble. They don't care anymore. Why? Because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people got saved in a day. 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. 3,000 people are now free and forgiven. 3,000 people in one day. No more sacrifices, no more external have-tos, no more washings, no more circumcision. They had to work through that. It's all now, it's a matter of the heart. And it reminded me that 3,000. I was like, 3,000, 3,000. 3,000. And it reminded me of a story about a man named Moses. It's in the Old Testament. Some of us will know the story or be familiar with it. In Exodus 31. So the people had been in Egypt 430 years. They got out. And now Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai. He's up in the mountain and he's encountering God. And the people are down below, a couple of million people down below, waiting for Moses to come back. And Exodus 31, verse 18, the Bible says this. Exodus 31, 18. When the Lord had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. What were those tablets? What would we call them? The Ten Commandments. Moses is encountering God. all by himself, just him, encounters God. The Lord gives him the Ten Commandments. And we pick it up in Exodus 32. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. In verse 1 of Exodus 32, the Bible says this. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to Aaron, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. That's not pretty. Verse 16, same chapter. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. Verse 17, the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Verse 19, now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses as they were coming down from the mountain, there is a sound of war in the camp. And it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the golden calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned. The people had said, build us a calf that we can worship because Moses is a crazy old fool. He's gone to the mountain, he's gone. He led us into this wilderness anyway. Let's build a calf, worship it, and get back to what we know. Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands, verse 20, and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface of the water and made the sons of Israel drink it. It's a different timeout. You just read this stuff and you're like, ick. Verse 25, same chapter. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. Verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed. And about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 people died that day, in one day. The day the law was given, 3,000 people died. The day Holy Spirit came, 3,000 people lived. What would you prefer, laws and tradition that result in death or Holy Spirit that results in life? Which would you rather have? Traditions, rules, do this, gotta do that, or freedom and liberty in Jesus? Seemingly, it's an easy choice. The law came. Rules, laws, traditions, weight that people could not sustain nor contain. But Jesus came and fulfilled the law and all of its requirements. It wasn't the end of the Ten Commandments. He fulfilled the Ten Commandments and now said, guess what? Holy Spirit is going to come give you a heart of flesh, soft heart, instead of a heart of stone. My Father's going to send Holy Spirit. Now stay and wait for the Holy Spirit. And he came. Traditions. And the church grew and the church went forward. Years went by. Paul, the apostle, went out planting churches all over. And one of the places he planted churches, Paul, the apostle, was Galatia. And he went and he planted a church. People got saved, healed, miraculous. Then he went back and he saw what was happening. It would be like us. For me, August 3rd, 1977. I'm free. I'm free. I was obnoxious, but I'm free. And I said out of my own mouth, no rules, no traditions. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be a phony. And the Lord said, amen. We can do that. That's why Holy Spirit came. And then I grew in lots of ways. Years went by, just like the Galatians. And Paul the Apostle, who planted a church, came back to see how the believers were doing, because they started in freedom. They started in salvation. They started with the Holy Spirit. But Paul came back and he's like, you started so well. And Paul wrote a letter called Galatians in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And Paul is appalled. Pun, sorry. He's offended. He is ripped on the inside to see that they started out in the things of the Spirit, and now they're going back to rules, traditions, laws. Can't do this, can't do that, don't touch. And this is Paul's response to this church. Galatians 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Strong words from a strong man who understands the implications of walking in freedom or going back to rules. Do this, don't do that. You have to, you can't, you ought to. And if you don't, we're going to judge you. Our judgment may just be a raised eyebrow. Oh, you're not going to church? Oh, you don't raise your hands? Oh. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18. Same book, same author, Apostle Paul. And Paul said this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. Rules versus freedom. Opposite. Traditions. Liberty. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law says you ought to, you have to, you must, you can't, you shouldn't, you should. Rules, traditions. Galatians 5, verse 1 and 13. Galatians 5, 1 and 13 says this. It was for freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's freedom that he's called us for. Not to be stupid, not to be ignorant, not to just do whatever you want. But he set us free from sin. Don't go back. Don't set up rules and traditions that God never said, he never intended. Well, it just seems like the right thing. For you, maybe, but don't put it on other people. May it never be. For us, now walking in freedom, as an opportunity to walk in freedom. Remember what I was set free from. Don't put rules on people. Don't put rules on myself. Live in freedom. Amen. Great, but how? What do I do with all this? Can I just submit? Can I just present as a possibility that it is possible to have man-made rules and traditions and not even know it? Totally oblivious. Why? Because we want to do what's right. And more importantly, I want you to do what's right because you irritate me. I irritate me, but you irritate me more. And I think you should do what's right. So how do I escape from traditions and rules that make me think I'm doing good with God? But Paul, if he was still writing, he would write to the American church, the Western church, and he'd say, oh my gosh, the rules, the traditions that you have, man-made, that have nothing to do with what Holy Spirit's saying, nothing to do with what the Bible says. Great, but how? How do I stay away from traditions and rules? First thing, simply live filled and full of Holy Spirit. Stay full. It's not a one-time experience. Well, I used to speak in tongues and I couldn't understand it. That might be the point. That's another teaching for another day. I'll let the teachers extrapolate and fill in the blanks. Live filled and full, not a one-time experience. Be continually filled and full. Stay intoxicated. Not stupid. Stay intoxicated. What would that even look like? This is what it looks like. Be full of grace. Yes. Be full of self-control. Be full of love. Be full of kindness. If I'm prickly, if I want to, I'm just irritated with people. What's the problem? What's the problem if I'm so irritated by so many people? Live full of Him. Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and Holy Spirit. Continually filled. Maybe it's time to have another drink. Second thing, great, but how? First one, live full. Second point, live free. What behaviors do I expect of myself? Live free. That's the second point, great, but how? What behaviors do I expect of myself or others? The Bible doesn't say. But I expect certain behaviors of myself and others potentially. Man-made rules, traditions. Well, what could those be? I don't think we have any of those. Here's a couple. You have to go on church on Sunday because Sunday's church day. The Lord's Day. From St. Louisans. Well, I go to church on Wednesday. Mm-mm, doesn't count. That's bonus only. It needs to be in the morning, too. Sunday night, bonus. Doesn't count. Says who? American, Western, it has to be Sunday morning. Really? I don't find that in the Bible. Or, you have to stay home on Sunday and can't shop. It's the Sabbath. I thought Jesus fulfilled the Ten Commandments. Well, that one's special. You shouldn't shop. You shouldn't. Nope, stay at home. You can go on a short walk like they did. The Jews did that. Short walk. Not a short drive, short walk. You can do the dog. That's it. It's Sunday. It's the Sabbath. Doggy needs help too. Or another one. You need to read your Bible early, every day, in the morning. It's better. You just should. It's fresh. Fresh bread. And honestly, the Lord's kind of busy later in the day, so get to Him early. He's got a lot on. Can we all agree with that? Hit it early. You know, it's just a few of us. Hotline. Where does it say that? Here's another one. I would never drink alcohol. Oh, hey. Next point. I would never drink alcohol, even at communion. Well, Jesus did. Well, that was Jesus. He ended that. I'm not finding that in my Bible. Or here's another one. You must only have wine at communion. Wasn't that oxymoronic to the first point you just made? Well, no, communion is legitimate if it has wine, only wine. What translation do you have? I haven't read that. Or the opposite, you must not have wine at communion. I didn't find that either. Well, I just believe it's true, and that's just the way it should be. Okay. Here's one. It's one of my fun ones. If you love Jesus, we do. Honestly, you should wear a sports coat. You just should. Or a suit. At least sport coat. We're getting there. Because that's honoring to God. Wear a sport coat. That honors Jesus. I haven't found that yet. Maybe it's in the Apocrypha. You know, some of the extra books the Catholics are using. Because I'm not finding that. Well, there's a dress code and you should obey it. It's just disrespectful. And ladies really should wear a dress. It honors Jesus. Okay. They just should. It's respectful. Okay. It's not in the Bible. Well, I think it's important. Good. I'm glad you think it's important. You should wear a dress if you're a lady. You got to say that. Here's another one. Praying at dinner, or lunch or breakfast, but praying at dinner out of religious routine. You just do it because it's almost like superstitious. I don't want to choke on a bone. So I didn't forget you. Swallow good. And again, I'm not saying you can't wear a dress to church. I'm not saying you can't wear a sport coat. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. But is it just meaningless now? It's just a meaningless tradition. We just do it because we do it. Saying to people, here's another one. Saying to people, our prayers are with you. And then not praying. I only did that with Randy. I have done that before. I'll be praying. Who was I praying for? Here's another one. Having a statue of Mary outside your home. It's okay to have one of Joseph, but Mary, come on. Having a picture of Jesus hanging in your living room. It's just better. At least a cross. Come on. At least a cross. Where is that in the Bible? Well, I just think it's right. You should too. If your church doesn't have its own building, it's not a legitimate church. What? Do you realize that for decades there was no church buildings? It was in homes? That's how it started, in homes. I'm not opposed to buildings. But sometimes, where do you all meet? Oh, over at Fort Jumalt South in the auditorium. Oh, that's not legitimate. You can't even afford your own building. No, thank you. Just a couple more. Church tradition, rules, regulations. Church membership and membership classes. I don't see it in the Bible. Well, it's just right. Okay, I have no problem with what the church believes in. Well, you need to have church membership. Okay. I just don't find it in the Bible. Well, it's just right and good. Okay, that's good for you. Here's another one, and I have been, so don't sweat. Ministers must graduate from a Bible school to be legitimate. I haven't found that in the Bible. Are you an American? Bible school. And I can tell you the real one. Okay. Here's another one, last one. Voting in church. Well, I'm an American, I get a vote. I don't find voting in the Bible. I find people dying out of rebellion, you know, but it's not in the Bible. So what things am I made fun of some of these, but they're real for some. But just ask myself, Lord, if I'm making rules in my heart, I guarantee you I'm projecting them to others. I guarantee you. May I just get back to what the Word says and live in freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. He came to set us free, not give us another playbook, rule book, traditions that are not in the Bible. The last thing, and I'll just close with this, could I ask you just to read the book of Acts in the next week or two? Just start reading through Acts. What do I do? Great, but how? Just read through Acts and ask Holy Spirit, Lord, where am I? Because 3,000 people followed Jesus the day Holy Spirit came. When the law came and rules, 3,000 people died. Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your patience with us. Help us, Lord, to not be rule followers, but spirit followers. To obey you when you tell us what to do. To say yes to you, Holy Spirit, and not project things on other people. Not judge other denominations because of their traditions. When, Lord, I guarantee you I have my own. Father, may I not be a rock thrower anymore at other people. People who are Hindus or Muslim or whatever. Father, may I love them. May they feel the love of Jesus, not my judgment. May I walk in life, in the Spirit, listening to Him. May I stay full of Holy Spirit that I'm projecting what's happening on the inside, which is kindness and mercy and self-control and love. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be your people. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.